Blog Talk Radio.
Behold the cross on which was hung, life's very Lord, God's darling one. Mary's own babe, so cold and so still, helpless before her on Calvary Hill. Nails in his hands, a traitor kiss upon his cheek, and his pierced heart broken in two. Love crucified for me and eyes that won't see, ears that won't hear, lips that deny the friend once so dear. Slowly he turns and captures your heart, then passes on.
Party and the Spirit of America Party Book. Well, how do you feel today now that you've lost your country? Oh, we haven't lost it. It's just been shelved temporarily. Here's some feedback that I just got. I'll share it with you. New comment posted on U.S. military on high alert as Ukraine troops trade gunfire with pro-Russian militants. And we're on high alert. And what does that mean? Everybody's getting high? And I responded with the comment that the only people that can stop the Russians are the Germans. And one gentleman came back and said, not even Germany. So he believes the Russians can roll all over Europe. It's very possible that we're going to have a new national anthem, the farmer in the dell, if there are any farmers left. And when we get to the cheese stands alone, that'll be us in the USA. I had a conversation with a guy who has a friend who has moved to the state of New Jersey, and being a former law enforcement officer, the state of New Jersey has a rule: if you want to keep your gun, you must qualify with it not once a year, but twice a year. Where in New York, you only have to qualify with it once a year. And, of course, you know, they were hoping for an attrition rate. The guy won't get out of bed 1 month. Yeah, and they can come take his guns away and his family. It all depends on what his political persuasion is. So this guy goes to qualify, and he goes to the local gun shop, gun store. And he walks in, and he goes, "I need 3 boxes of bullets." And the gentleman behind the counter says, "Oh, we don't have any." He says, "I got to qualify. What do you mean we don't have any?" He says, "What are you, law enforcement?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Okay, you can have 1 box." You know, the government's buying up all the bullets, right? Social Security bought 1 billion bullets. Department of Homeland Security bought 1 billion bullets. The post office bought 1 billion bullets. They got money to buy bullets, but they got no money to give veterans a decent medical care. But they got money to buy up all the bullets in the land. And that's what they're doing. So then the guy says, "All right, give me a box." And it was $10 higher than the last time he bought it. Well, that's the law of supply and demand. And his biggest concern was that he had to pay $10 more. Not that he's losing his country. Not that he's losing any freedoms this week. You want to hear a freedom that everybody lost and nobody knows about? The freedom to pray in public. Yes, you've been denied the freedom to pray in public. Can we get a moment of silence, please? That's not a moment of prayer. That's a moment of silence. And you ring a bell? Who's coming? Yeah. Think about that. A moment of silence is not a moment of prayer. So let's see what else is going on. Here's somebody that says, "Gun control, I will not comply." This is from Daily Sanity. "When guns are outlawed," the guy's got a big poster, "I will become an outlaw." Yep. And you're seeing the guys that did the standoff. By the way, the standoff wasn't covered by the media. It's been hidden by the communist media. You know who the communist media is, don't you? The New York Stalinist Times, Slime Magazine, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe. Nobody, and now I hear that Facebook has banned the video. How's that? So they're whittling down the conservative talk show stations and hosts, and there's half of what used to be. And on TV, only Fox is left there to talk about America. And now they're going after the Internet, and they've got Facebook and God knows who else. Dear conservative, today is a deadline for New Yorkers to register their so-called assault weapons with the state, with the communist state. Don't be afraid to say it. Mario Cuomo, Mario the communist Cuomo, says you don't need 6 bullets to kill a deer. Suppose you're hunting 6 deer. Yeah, and you don't need a rifle to kill a deer. You can wrestle them to the ground and make a citizen's arrest. And today is the deadline for New Yorkers to register their so-called assault weapons with the communist state. A little over a year ago, the gun control machines in New York and Connecticut fired up again, eager to use the Sandy Hook tragedy. That was a gun-free zone. Why didn't that crazy little gunman go in there and acknowledge why did he shoot the sign? Yeah. Somebody could have killed him with a gun-free zone sign. Do you know that Obama's he's putting up a nuke-free zone sign? Isn't that an invitation? eager to use the Sandy Hook tragedy as an excuse to push for more gun control. I got to tell you, parents of Sandy Hook, you should have had an armed guard. With all the taxes you pay, you can afford an armed guard in that school. Two armed guards definitely would have stopped little Adam. Definitely. And all those children and teachers would be alive today. But penny wise and pound foolish. Both of these states passed onerous, toughest in the nation assault weapons bans. I am forced to put the word assault weapons in quotations because not only is it a made-up term created by communist gun grabbers to demonize an entire class of firearms, but the definition also varies greatly from state to state. The guy that was shooting out there in Kansas had a shotgun. The gun grabbers started by trying to just ban firearms by name, which was rather stupid because firearm manufacturers and George Soros is buying up a lot of firearms manufacturers. George KGB Soros. Yes. And firearms manufacturers would just change their product names. Instead, they instituted a ban based on the weapon's cosmetic attachments. These gun control communists aren't interested in stopping crime. They're just trying to disarm the law-abiding citizens so that they can suffer more crimes. Besides, they let people out of jail to increase the criminal element on the streets. Oh, they were only in there for a little marijuana. Yeah, a little marijuana, delivering 50 kilos of heroin. In order to leave them, we prosecute the heavy users. In order, BS, it's all BS, man, it's all a scam, it's all a lie. And never forget that Democrats know nothing but to lie. Democrats haven't told the truth in 60 years. Against what? The Republicans? The Republicans, they're without sin. Yeah, unless it's George Bush. Yeah, who got us into the Iraq War and we didn't have to be there? It was Bill Clinton that got us into the Iraq War and we didn't have to be there. And Bill Clinton in 1993 kicked the can down the road. It was called the first hit on the World Trade Center. And that's why the towers are now known as the Clinton Towers. And 3,248 Americans are dead on Clinton's watch. From 1993, because he could not get Osama bin Laden. And when President Obama got Osama bin Laden, and he knew exactly where he was, he gave him 4 months to get away. So don't tell me about Democrat war heroes, because they don't have any. They never did, they never will. Tell Congress, but they'll get you into a war, and they'll leave you to die on the battlefield. And they will draft your son, but never their son. Tell Congress it must stop those draconian gun controls before they spread across the country. In Connecticut and New York, it is legal to own an AR-15 as long as it doesn't contain a collapsible buttstock, flash hider or brake, pistol grip, or a few other purely cosmetic features. As a result, entrepreneurs have been able to flood the market with new ways to modify AR-15s in order to be band compliant. Yes, these guns are ugly, but they are a way to keep the shooting sports alive in the face of strict assault weapons bans. Just after New Year's, I told you that over, the writer told us, 350,000 patriots refused to register their firearms in Connecticut. Rather than follow this unconstitutional law and allow the state to record who has the guns, a list to be used for future confiscation, more than 350,000 people decided to disobey. Well, the same thing is happening in New York, except on a much larger scale. It is estimated that before the SAFE Act passage, there were 1 to 2 million firearms that would be classified as assault weapons in New York. While the SAFE Act forbids the police from releasing the number of registered firearms, politicians are scrambling to figure out how to deal with the massive civil disobedience that's taking place. You know who's going to end up selling assault weapons? The Chinese. And you'll buy them on the black market. You can buy them with your drugs. Drug dealers will be glad to have an extra line of product. Today, April 15th, is the deadline to register all assault weapons and high-capacity magazines with New York State Police. Even the most liberal estimates suggest that only 10% of gun owners will actually file the paperwork to register their firearms. If you're thinking of registering your firearm because the communist government told you you must, you better have a backup for when they come and take the one that you listed. And don't think they're not going to turn your house upside down looking for the one that you didn't list. Once they have your name, they have your address, and they have control over you. We were talking about this Nevada standoff where the ranchers showed up to defend the last cowboy in Nevada that's raising cattle. 50 of them have been driven off their land. 50 of them have been chased away. There's only one rancher left, and he's standing in Harry Reid's way, and Harry doesn't like it. And somebody also mentioned that every place the Chinese turn up buying property, it's always near military bases. Did you know that? Google it. Check it out. Let me know what you find. And you remember they were building a city in Idaho outside of Boise? Is there a military base outside of Boise? That would be interesting to know. Maybe they wouldn't have to shoot the missile from China. Yeah, and it's going to be their own city. And wherever there is a Chinese investment, there is a politician selling out his country. You don't believe that, but then again, you'll be getting on the truck and you won't believe it was your name that got called. That means that after midnight tonight, the gun grabbers in New York will have turned over 1 million hardworking, tax-paying, honest Americans into felons overnight. When you combine New York and Connecticut, that means well over 1.5 million people who are now felons, even though they have not committed no other crimes. They are not dangerous people. They are not the people who go into schools or malls and start killing innocent people and movie theaters. These gun owners just wanted to be left alone to protect and provide for their families. Big government, however, doesn't trust Americans who can fight back. The government doesn't trust you with arms because an armed citizenry is the last defense against tyranny. Tell Congress it must stop these draconian gun control laws before they spread across the country. When the Second Amendment was being debated, Patrick Henry, one of the seldom mentioned founding fathers, asked, "Are we at last brought to such humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense? Where is the difference between having our arms in possession and under our direction and having them under the management of Congress? If our defense be the real object of having those arms, in whose hands can they be trusted with more propriety or equal safety to us as in our own hands?" The question is just as relevant today as it ever was. We already had this debate, and the Second Amendment protects our rights to bear arms. And don't believe that militia crap. We are the militia. We will always be the militia. When one guy comes out of his house with a gun and the guy next door comes out of his house with his gun, that's the formation of a militia. Big government breeds government dependency on every level, whether it's food stamps, unemployment assistance, and now gun control. The government will not rest until you're completely dependent on government assistance. We must take a stand. The government thugs will not rest until all Americans are disarmed. We don't believe that Harry Reid is going to give up. He's going to destroy that guy Bundy. He's going to go down there, and he's going to gun down anybody that gets in his way. And then you may see the President of the United States call for martial law and total disarmament of the civilian population. And he will enforce it. I just got to remind all you law enforcement officers of the Nuremberg trials of 1945, when people who were only following orders from a superior were hanged for war crimes. Do not obey a law that you know in your heart and conscience is illegal, because you will have no defense. And one of those law enforcement officers that was down there was interviewed, and he says, I'm torn apart. I've got to follow orders. But if my grandfather could see what I'm doing here today, he would disown me. And so, word to the wise is sufficient. And let me tell you what's going to happen if this rogue government decides it's seizing everybody's guns. Many people will die, but it's not going to be on a battlefield. It's going to be back to 1776 behind rocks and trees. And in Washington, D.C., hunting for politicians, you can rest assured that we're going to go to the source of the problem. But, of course, that's alleged. That will never happen. Let's go back for a tune. Yes, they got the strategy. They got it all picked out. And if you see another Waco or Ruby Ridge foisted on the Bundy family, you can rest assured revolution is coming. And it's going to be hard for guys that serve in the military to kill their brothers and sisters. It is not going to be easy. And there will be people changing sides. And there's one thing you should know. If you study assassinations, like Indira Gandhi, Rajiv Gandhi, King Khalid of Saudi Arabia, it's always the bodyguards that kill the person they're guarding. You think about that. Let's see what we got here. You want to play a good tune? You don't want to hear Disco Duck, do you?
Is it any wonder that I've fallen for you? You're the spell I'm under, and I'm helpless, it's true. Is it any wonder why my skies are so blue when I search the found a rainbow, found a moon glow.
Here's a bulletin from a person named Allison Lundergan Grimes. And I think that's a woman's name. And usually it's women that have two last names. Men don't have two. Oh, God. I got to tell you, my theory is never trust a woman with two last names or a woman that names her child after a train station. But this has been endorsed by the Tea Party, so I guess I have to go along and scrap my theory about women with two last names. Allison Lundergan Grimes is the Tea Party candidate who is running against Match McConnell, a flag burner of record. Yeah, I got a problem. I had paperwork, documented paperwork that showed a vote 40 days before 9/11 by 48 senators who voted to burn the flag. And I can't find it anymore. It's gone. And the only thing I can think of is that maybe they did a roll call vote, but they didn't vote on it. They just shelved it. But when I had it, it was an official piece of paper. It's probably buried in 6 years of paperwork. But it bothers me because I took that list of how they voted 40 days before 9/11. And I used it as my guide for not trusting flag burners of record, one of whom was Mitch McConnell. I call him Match McConnell. And now this lady is running against him, and she's saying, "We outraised McConnell again. Thanks to you, our grassroots movement is beating Washington's cash machine. She's raised over $7 million, contributions from 120 Kentucky counties, 45,000 grassroots supporters, and the average contribution was $25, and nearly 53,000 contributors under $50. And she got supporters from all 50 states. In just over 2 weeks, we have another huge moment. At the end of April, we'll hit the final fundraising deadline before Kentucky's May primaries. Match McConnell's got to go. I got to tell you, if you really want clean government, you got to rotate the crops, baby. You got to get them out of there in 4 years. No more career. Sorry. The job is too important to let you put your big ass there and line your pockets. And all of these guys, they all got pocket liners. They do. They're in too long. They got to be taken care of. And we don't need that. We need new guys that say, okay, now, how does it work? And when the Chinese guy comes with the envelope, what do I do with it again? Time's up. Time's up. You have to leave. We got somebody else coming in. Oh, man. I don't even want to go there with that one. Grilling with guns. You want to know what that's about? BB gun lighters. They're selling BB gun lighters. Oh, we're getting gun mania now. People on food stamps outnumber women working. People on food stamps outnumber women working full-time jobs. And did you notice that Obama called for equal pay for women except the women that are working for him? Yeah, Democrats are hypocrites, man. They're hypocrites. They lie. They never tell the truth. Let's see what else is here. A deadline to register assault weapons. Well, we were just talking about that. Feds play waiting game at Nevada Ranch. Oh, that's what I wanted to tell you. The guys on horseback that wouldn't back down from the Gestapo. When the Gestapo was pulling back, you know, they were retreating, you know, military style. Some of the ranchers were yelling, "Go back to China. Go back to Washington, D.C. But I got a kick out of the one that said, "Go back to China." Yeah, we're going to – I think that once we get rid of Obama, if Obama doesn't get rid of us first, is we're going to have to throw out of office every worm that he planted in the ground. Every termite that he planted to eat the oak of freedom, we have to get rid of all of them, and we got to undo all the laws he passed that can hurt the country. And definitely that medical coverage is ridiculous. Oh, and by the way, it's a late breaking news. Kathleen Sebelius, she had her insurance canceled, her medical insurance canceled today, because she had a pre-registration illness. Yes, it has to do something with mental capacity, but I didn't get the rest of it. So the feds are playing a waiting game. They're going to wait till, that's what they do, they wait till everybody's asleep. You see, the communist rule in the media is no matter what the atrocity, America will forget it in 2 weeks. Who cares how they died? I had a blood clot. I couldn't testify. Why do you think I lie like this? Would I lie like this if I didn't have to testify? They're making me lie. Yeah, we're in trouble. Let's see what this one says. Oh, we got comments on this one. Feds play waiting game at Nevada Ranch, waiting to pounce again. Federal officials appear to be waiting out the ranch when nobody's around. They're going to do an Elian Gonzalez. Watch out. They may get him like they got Elian. Yeah, on Holy Saturday. Yeah, everybody will be praying we can take them down. You see what they did with the cattle? The calves that need milk from their mothers, they took the mothers and left the calves. How's that? Nice guys, huh? Aren't you glad they're not coming for your baby? Yeah, you might have violated the rule. No more than two. 2 days after a dispute over grazing rights, cattle, and $1 million in fees, they took the land and then they charged the fees. They're the biggest crooks in the world. They are bigger than the mafia. The mafia could learn from these guys. In fees and fines, they threatened to spin into a Wild West shootout. There were a lot of guys on horseback. And there was one guy that was standing out front with an M4 rifle, and assault rifle. Did he register it? And as we were watching him, we said, you can rest assured they know who he is, where he lives. He's been marked, earmarked for communist punishment. So 2 days after the dispute and the fines, they threatened to spin into a Wild West shootout. Officials said they weren't finished with Bundy. We'll get him when he's asleep. We'll get him when he's praying in church, like we did Elian Gonzalez. You know, they thought Elian Gonzalez was going to be in a church and demanding sanctuary. And they were pleased to find out he was in a home. They found him in a closet. Remember the guy with the automatic weapon and the helmet and the goggles, and he had the gun pointed at the kid's head? Yeah, he was only doing his job. They were only following orders. We're sick, man. We're sick. So, are they bringing his cows back? No, they're not bringing his cows back. They're going to ambush him. So MacBoy says, take your time, bozos. There's more time for us to stockpile and organize all our groups. Oh, and don't forget, next time bring lots of body bags for yourselves, too. Oh, so you know what's going to happen? They're going to come with a force 10 times greater than the force they came with today. And they're going to lay down some lead, and they're going to kill some people. And then the President of the United States is going to go on TV and say, we can't have this. We have to seize everybody's guns. And then welcome to World War III. And it starts right here. The big problem, though, is the Kenyan retard that sits in the Oval Office. Nothing short of an armed populace will stop the communists from their attempts at imploding the U.S. economy, except perhaps a few Secret Service agents who finally find manhood and take care of business for the people, if you know what I mean. See what I was talking about before? Right? Right? You know what you got to do? You got to see the movie Michael Collins and see what happens when people are oppressed and they have no alternative but to play hardball. You could see the movie Michael Collins, and you could see the movie When the Wind Shakes the Barley. When the Wind Shakes the Barley. And see the frustration. Or you could watch the Civil War all over again. you know, when the Democrats had all the slaves and seceded from the United States. The big problem, though, is the Kenya, we said that one already. It won't happen so much as I, too, would love to see it. I'd even celebrate the occurrence. The idiot SS will protect El Bozo to death. You know what? I have a scenario when President Clinton was president, and they interviewed one of the Secret Service guys, and they asked him, how are you going to protect the president with your life? He says, I'm going to use him as a body shield. This is an $80 suit I got on. I don't want no holes in it. Yeah, you never know. I told you about Indira Gandhi. I told you about Rajiv Gandhi. I told you about Mahatma Gandhi. This may be somebody's going to change their name to Gandhi. It's just got to be what it's got to be. And King Khalid of Saudi Arabia, he was killed by a nephew. And everybody was searched going up to see the king. And the king dismissed the search for the nephew. Said, it's okay, he's my nephew. And his nephew killed him and then was put to death. Plus, there's a lot more. And I'll tell you a little trivia. You know, there's no alcohol allowed in Saudi Arabia, and yet they do have it. They even make their own hooch. It's called Siddiqui. They're moonshiners. But it's not in because of the Quran that there's no alcohol in Saudi Arabia. Aramco, in its early years, I think it was maybe the British American Petroleum Company, was at the party that was given when a Saudi prince got drunk and he killed either a Brit or an American, and he was beheaded for it. And that's when liquor was outlawed in Saudi Arabia. So it didn't have to do with the Quran. Hell, like I said before, all that can save us is if they are all gathered in one place and poof, they all came up missing at the same time. That would require an alien intervention, of which I would not mind seeing. Talk about party time. Okay, so there's only a couple of comments there. I thought there'd be a whole bunch. Let's go back for a tune. We'll get a little Latin. Because, you know, I don't know if you know it or not, but the government turns Latinos against white people. Did you know that, your government? A buddy of mine has a Brazilian girlfriend, and she was being made an American citizen, and he went to the swearing-in ceremony. And it was mostly Orientals and the Latinos that were being sworn in, and they all had little American flags. And an American representative from immigration, I guess, came out and told them that they're going to be hated by the white man because they've become American citizens. And if they are ever discriminated against, then he gave his phone number. You call me, and I'll make sure nothing happens to you, and that you get your just rights. And if anybody refuses to give you a loan, you call me. If anybody refuses to rent you living quarters, you call me, because the white man hates your guts. So all these people went out on the street waving their American flag and prepared to fight the white man. And that was done courtesy of whoever swears in the people becoming American citizens. That guy should be found, tarred and feathered, and run out of town on a rail. So the feds are playing the waiting game. Social Security will stop robbing kids to pay their parents' debts. You know, they tried that. They wanted, if you got a relative that couldn't pay, they're going to fine you and make you pay. 52% of Americans say federal income taxes are too high, way too high. I got to give you the scenario I grew up with. My father made $67 a week working for the IRT subway. His rent was $37.50 a month. His TV was free. His phone bill was $7. and my phone bill was Lorraine 8 is 66 is 66. Right? And he didn't own a car. He had a subway pass. And he lived in a community of with people just like himself. He never worked a weekend. He had every weekend off. We used to take walks in the park, go to church on Sunday. Yep. And he was content. He had $5 in his wallet his entire life. And we used to joke he had it from the beginning to the end. It was the same $5. And he thought that was hilarious. So, what can I say? What can I say? Today, you got both sides of the family are working. Not one job, but two jobs. They play football with the kids as one goes to work and the other one comes back. And they're under the gun. They're under a lot of stress and pressure. And they got a lot of bills. And the government is no help. Now, when you see what the government gives away, throws, wastes away, you say to yourself, boy, you know, if they didn't need all that money, I could work less. And I would live longer. Isn't that something? I'm looking at a chapter called Capitalist Cronies. It's from a book, a New York Times bestseller by Peter Schweitzer, Throw Them All Out, How Politicians, Their Friends Get Rich Off of Insider Stock Tips, Land Deals, and Cronyism That Would Send the Rest of Us to Prison. I see in Brazil they got a big scandal breaking with Petrogas. That's the oil company that Obama, Bin Laden, sent all of the Gulf Coast deep drilling oil rigs to Brazil and then loaned them Social Security money to drill for oil, which they now sell to the Chinese. Beware of these Chinese. They're very clever. They're very clever. Okay, on page 78 of Throw Them All Out, there's a pie chart. And it says, friends give friends billions of our money. Department of Energy loan recipients. Obama-connected companies versus unconnected companies. And the pie chart is $20.5 billion as of September 15, 2011. And the small piece of the pie is unconnected companies. Okay, they got $4.1 billion. Obama-connected companies got $16.4 billion. Isn't that something? The so-called 1705 Loan Guarantee Program and the 1603 Grant Program channeled billions of dollars to all sorts of energy companies. The grants were earmarked for alternative fuel and green power projects. So it would not be a surprise to learn that those industries were led by liberals. Furthermore, there were highly competitive grant and loan programs. Not usually a hallmark of cronyism. Often less than 10% of the applicants were deemed worthy to receive government support. Yes, one of the questions on the application was, do you believe in God? Yeah, and nevertheless, a large proportion of the winners were companies with Obama campaign connections. Indeed, at least 10 members of Obama's finance committee and more than a dozen of his campaign bundlers were big winners in getting your money. Imagine the state of Maryland saying that they shot a $25 million to get Obamacare up and running, and they've decided to scrap it. Well, what do we get our $25 million back? No, no. At the same time, several politicians who supported Obama managed to strike gold by launching alternative energy companies and obtaining grants. How much did they get?
According to the Department of Energy's own numbers, a lot. In the 1705 government-backed loan program, for example, $16.4 billion of the $20.5 billion in loans granted went to companies either run or by or primarily owned by Obama financial backers. These guys should all have to wear pirate costumes when they go to work. And can you imagine what the Republicans are doing? Look how much the Democrats are getting. Oh, I can't wait till we're in power. Yeah. Individuals who are bundlers, members of Obama's National Finance Committee, or large donors to the Democratic Party of Death. The grant and guaranteed loan recipients were early backers of Obama before he ran for president. So this was the payoff, man. Let's see here. What do we got here? Leading the loan programs at the DOE with Steve Spinner was Jonathan Silver, who would serve as executive director. Silver formerly served in the Clinton administration, first as counselor to the Secretary of the Interior. And there's good money in this in the Interior. That's where Clinton and Gore facilitated the Elk Hills Oil Reserve sale to Arm & Hammer's company. What was it? Occidental Petroleum. Arm & Hammer, big communist friend of Joseph Stalin. Big sympathizer of communism. Must be nice to be a capitalist sympathizer of communism. And later as Assistant Deputy Secretary of the Department of Commerce, another lucrative. Did you bring the honorarium? I heard Henry Kissinger say that in Japan on a video. You know, I'm here. Did you bring the honorarium? And I often wondered about Ron Brown, who died in a plane crash. He went to Vietnam, and here's a country that was dead broke, poor, and he said, do you have anything for me? No, he didn't do that, no. They're all clean. They're all a Joan of Arc. He is a strict partisan when it comes to his own campaign contributions. The recipients have all been Democrats. His wife has served as financial director for the Democrat Leadership Council. That's what they call it, leadership. His business partner, Tom Wheeler, was an Obama bundler. $1 is the largest campaign contribution you can make to any political party. $1 is the maximum. And put an end to all of this bribery and payoffs. What good are you to me if all you can give me is a dollar? That's all I'm allowed. I'm sorry. Couldn't you slip me a dollar under the table? Why should I do that? I only have to give you $1. His wife has served as financial director. Tom Wheeler was an Obama bundler, and his wife was an outreach coordinator. They had a hearing champagne contributions, and they called in the woman that was in charge of it. I don't know if you ever caught it. First thing she did was go to the Fifth Amendment. First thing. Said, would you like butter on your bread? I'd like to plead the Fifth. Silver managed the loans with advice from his strategic advisor, Steve Spinner. The grants, on the other hand, originated in the office of Kathy Zoe, who served as the Assistant Secretary of Energy for Efficiency and Renewable Energy. Weigel was her advisor. Zoe had previously worked in the Clinton White House as the Chief of Staff on Environmental Policy, then as the CEO of former Vice President Al Gore's Alliance for Climate Protection. You may be thinking, so what? But what would we expect anything less of political appointees? But the numbers don't lie. The recipients of the loans and grants from these programs were Obama cronies. Were the funds doled out based on the merits? You decide. So the big argument would be, why not Obama to steal? Everybody else is stealing. I agree with you, but let's cut out the stealing by everybody. This is a very interesting book. Very interesting. And Harry reads in here on other land deals. Another one of these politicians who has seen his wealth rise in recent years is Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada. Reid doesn't trade a lot of stocks, but he does buy and trade land, and he is often able to boost the profits from his investments by the use of the power of his office. In 2005, Senator Reid sponsored an $18 million earmark to build a bridge over the Colorado River to connect Laughlin, Nevada with Bullhead City, Arizona. There was already one bridge connecting the two places. Neighboring Arizona's two senators denounced the earmark as pork and a completely unnecessary expenditure. As it happened, a few miles from the proposed bridge, there was a 160-acre parcel of land owned by guess who? Harry Reid. Local officials predicted that the bridge would undoubtedly hike land values in an already booming commuter town where speculators were snapping up undeveloped land for housing developments and other projects. Reid's office insisted that Harry Reid's support for the bridge had absolutely nothing to do with the property that he owns. Reid has done very well with land deals over the years. In 1998, he bought undeveloped residential property just out Las Vegas for about $400,000. In 2001, he sold it to a friend, Jay Brown, a longtime casino lawyer, for a stake in a limited liability company that held the property. Reid never reported the transaction on his financial disclosure form. By moving the property to the LLC, he could effectively shield it from future disclosures because now the LLC was technically the owner, not him. All he had to disclose was that he had a stake in the company. The LLC tried to get the land rezoned from residential to commercial, which would make it far more valuable, submitting its request to the appropriate subcommittees of the Clark County Zoning Commission. The answer was no. Rezoning would be inconsistent with the Clark County Master Development Plan. The subcommittee's no vote was 4-1. Brown and Reid then took it up to the full Clark County Commission. Reid's name even came up at the hearings. Mr. Brown's partner is Harry Reid, commissioners were told. Did I mention that at this time Clark County commissioners were trying to obtain federal earmarks for a variety of projects through Harry Reid's office, or that Reid had funneled tens of millions of dollars in earmarks to Clark County over the years? The commission granted the rezoning. Shortly thereafter, Reid and Brown sold the land to a shopping center developer for $1.6 million. Reid's personal take was $1.1 million. Leveraging your power for the land deal is one of the best paths to honest graft. It is difficult to determine the actual market price of most properties, so disclosure statements can be murky. And when an earmarked project improves the value of the property, it can be hard to calculate just how much that new road transit stop will be beautification added to it. But there can be little doubt that the political class is the only group of people who can get away with using taxpayer money. It is time to get rid of all these people. If you want to save your country, you've got to get rid of all the termites that are eating the oak of freedom. One term per termite. So, having said that, Cal Magidan, they're talking about the retreat from that Nevada standoff. Everybody, the cameras, Fox was the only one down there, by the way. Did you know that? The Communist News Networks had their orders. They wanted to go and get their orders. Did you see, what's the guy's name that speaks? Jay Carney, is that his name? That represents the president. Did you see the posters in his house? Posters in his house celebrating the Bolshevik Revolution? Yeah, we're in trouble, folks. We have no idea.
I wonder if Putin calls once a day to give Obama his instructions. Speaking of Manchurian candidates, we are missing Aaron Klein, who used to broadcast on Sunday nights from Tel Aviv. Looks like WABC also has their orders they got to get rid of. The only one they got left is Savage, and they can dismiss him at any time. They can get him anytime they want him. And Mark Levin. They're afraid to take out Mark Levin. Yeah, they're afraid of Mark Levin. But they got rid of Adam Klein, who was very good. He wrote a book, The Manchurian President. And if you ever want to know anything about Obama, get that book. Hannity and Limbaugh gone from WABC. And Bob Grant, who was the founder of talk radio. They didn't even give him a tribute. No. It was like, next. And that's what happens to all you girls that go to work in Hollywood. Once they've used you up, you're finished. Next. That's their buzzword. Okay. We'll break for a tune. And when we come back, we'll see how much time we got left. Usually when I talk this long, I'm out of time. We got 3 minutes and 36 seconds. Let me find a good tune. We opened up with a Passion of Christ tune tonight. I got to do it. I mean, on Friday, this guy is going to die for me all over again. How can I not say thank you? Let's see here. I got to find something different. Oh, I was looking for... We'll do the verdict.
Do you love me? Do you want me? What can the verdict be? What is your verdict? What is my faith? What is your verdict? Don't make me wait. I've been on trial for a long time. What is your verdict? Please, please make up your mind. I can't deny that I love you so. The evidence prove it, I know. Please give me a sense of life with your charms. Imprison me, dear, in your arms. I know I love you, that I confess. What is your verdict? Is it no? Is it yes? Is it no?
Okay, we got a few minutes left. We'll take you out with a Latin tune. Stand by to dance. Just a reminder that American troops, when ordered to fire on fellow Americans, must really consider whether you're following an illegal order, and think before you act. And I know if you disobey, you'll go to prison, and if you kill your fellow American, one day you may go to prison too. So don't ever let anybody put you in that situation. And I'm thinking of a sergeant named Vailor who was riding in Fort Leavenworth, who was ordered by his commanding officer to kill a guy that came upon their sniper concealed sight. And as a reward for following orders, the commander who ordered the execution was pardoned. Was found not guilty in an American courtroom. And also another soldier that was part of the three-man team was found not guilty. But Sergeant Vailor was charged with premeditated murder, and he was sentenced to 15 years. And he was tried in an Iraqi court. So I just want you to know, be careful. Think for yourself, and make sure you're on the right side when the fit hits the shan. Have a nice night, folks.